Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva the Verve!
I want to tell you a story that a pastor named Tommy Oakes made up and tells. He calls it the story of sleeping ugly. And he says that there are a lot more sleeping uglies in the world than there are sleeping beauties. Now, when you tell this story, you can't start out with once upon a time, because this story didn't just happen once. And you can't start out with long ago and far away, because this story happens near and it happens now. In fact, it's probably happened to a lot of people in this room. And you can't start out, there was born a little girl, because it also happens to little boys. But for the sake of telling the story, I will start out. Once upon a time, in a land far away, there was born this little girl. And this little girl was actually of royal descent. And she was the descendant of a king, and therefore, this little girl, she was a princess. But when she was born, she was given to this family to raise her. And this family did not know that she was of royal descent. There were no signs of her royalty, and so they had no idea. Well, this kingdom that this family lived in, it was kind of a magical kingdom. And in this magical kingdom, there were times where, like, you could do one thing, and it would lead to something else. It was almost like there was spells. And as you might imagine, there were good spells, but there were also bad spells. And this little girl, growing up, she became the victim of a bad spell, of a sleeping spell. See, her parents didn't realize it, but in this kingdom, if you said certain words to people, it would have an impact on them. And so growing up, her parents, real early in life, started to say these words to her that started to put the spell on her. They said words like this. They said words like, you don't, can't, you aren't, you mustn't, never think, you never will be. And they used words like ugly. They used words like unattractive. And they didn't realize it, but that whole time what they were doing is they were putting a spell on her. It was almost like there was this big spell spider that was suspended, hovering over this girl. And every time they used words like that, it would like fling down some webs of this spell that she was getting caught up in. And so they would say, like, you don't. And it would be like, psst. The spell would come down on her. They would say, you can't. Psst. You mustn't never think. Psst. You won't ever. Psst. Ugly. Unattractive. And little by little, this girl was getting all meshed up in this bad sleeping spell. And she was known to yawn quite frequently and to just kind of fall asleep. Other people besides her parents actually started putting this spell on her as well. They didn't realize what they were doing, but they said words that also contributed to this spell. Sometimes they used similar words to her parents. They would say, you aren't and you must not. This spell would be put on her. But they did other things. One of the things that they would do in this kingdom is something that they called joking. Like they would say things about ugliness. They would say jokes like, did you hear that she got a facelift? No, I didn't. Yeah, the crane broke. Ha, ha, ha. They would say, did you hear she got a job at the drugstore? No, what'd she do there? She doesn't work inside, she works outside. She makes people sick, so they go in and get medicine. Ha, ha, ha. Did you hear somebody sent her picture into Ripley's Believe It or Not? No, what'd they do? They sent back a letter that said, we don't believe it. Ha, ha, ha. And these other people who knew her, they didn't realize it, but with every joke, it was like that spell was getting put on her even more. With every ha, psst, ha, psst, ha, psst. They also did something that they called in this kingdom ignoring. And every time she was ignored, a little bit, psh, a little bit more of that spell would fall. And what happened is that gradually, she became known to just nod off. And she would kind of just sleep through her day. And she would go to school, and she would just sleep through school. And then she would take the bus ride home, and she would just sleep the entire bus ride. When she got home, what she started doing is she would just retreat back to her bedroom. And in her bedroom, it was like she had heard all those words so many times that, believe it or not, she was heard in her bedroom to say them to herself. She would look in the mirror and she would say, "You aren't. Psst. You mustn't never think. Psst. You never will be. Psst. Ugly. Psst." And little by little, she fell into a deep, dark sleep. And she slept through her days. She slept through her nights. She slept, walked to school. She slept, walked around her neighborhood. She slept, played. She slept, ate. She slept, drank. She slept. Well, she would have continued like that forever, and that just would have been her story. But something happened at this point in her life that really needs to happen to people who fall into this kind of spell. Into her village came, you might be able to guess, a prince. One day, this prince came riding up on this white horse, and I mean, he was shiny, and he was brilliant, and all kinds of wide-awake beauties came running out to meet him, and they looked at him, and they said, "You look like a prince," and he said, "I am a prince," and they said, "We want to welcome you to our village," and he said, "Well, I'm very glad to be here, and I'm glad to meet all of you, but the question I have is, do you have any sleeping uglies in your village?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we do. There's one who lives in the village there, but why do you want to know about her?" And he said, "These are the people I came for. Could you take me to her?" I said, "Okay, I guess." And so they started to bring him to this little girl's house. Now, I wish you could have been in her room when this prince arrived in her village and started to weave his way through the village to her house, because something started to happen to that spell. It was like the spell started to recognize that the one who had the power to undo it was in the vicinity. And the spell started to actually get tense. Instead of its usual just kind of lulling there, it started to emit this kind of low-level hum. And then as they took the prince and he started to weave through the roads of the village to her house, it got more tense. And he got really close to her house. And then he walked up the stairs to her porch. And then he knocked. And her parents opened the door, and they opened it, and they looked at her, this man, and they said, "You look like a prince." He said, "I am a prince." They said, well, welcome. He said, "I'm glad to be here. I understand that there lives in this house a sleeping ugly." They said, "Well, yes, there is, but why would you want to see her?" He said, "She is the one I've come for. May I see her?" They said, "Well, sure, she's upstairs sleeping." And so they took her upstairs to her room, and man, the spell in her room, it's just going crazy. And they opened the door, and she's laying there sleeping, and they said, "That's her." And he said, "Would you mind if I had a few moments alone with her?" They said, that would be fine. And so he closed the door, and he walked over to her. And there was something about this prince. I don't know what we should call it. We could call it magic. But he had this power about him. It was almost as if there was like this power in his eyes. It almost looked like there were like golden rays of sunshine coming out of his eyes. So it was amazing. And so he walked up to this bed and he looked at her. And he looked at her really deeply, and something started to happen to that spell. As he looked at her with those rays coming out of his eyes, it was like strands of that spell started to snap. I mean, he looked at her and it was like, pew, pew. And he looked at her some more, pew, pew, pew. And then he started to speak, and he knew exactly the right words to say. He looked at her and he said, "Ugly? You're not ugly." Pew, pew. He said, "You are a princess." Pew, 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 pew. He said, "I recognize you. Pew, pew. You are royalty." Pew, pew, pew. He says, "You're wonderful. Pew, pew, pew. You have an amazing destiny before you." Pew, pew, pew. And the spell is breaking up. But she's still pretty much asleep. And so what he did is he realized that she needed more magic. And so he reached out and he touched her. He put his hand on her shoulder, and he just shook her very gently. He said, "Wake up. Wake up, little girl. Wake up." And the spell started breaking even more, but she couldn't quite wake up. And so he did in that moment what princes do in moments like this. He said, "You need the strongest magic of all. What you need is a kiss." And he puckered up and he bent down and he kissed her, and pow! It was like, and the cell starts breaking up like crazy, and all kinds of things are happening, and her eyes start fluttering a little bit, and some color starts coming to her cheeks, and she's a little bit, and he says, "I guess you need another one." And so he puckered up again and kissed, pow! Like the spell is just breaking up, and finally she sits up and she's like, "Hello?" And he says, "Hello, princess." She says, "Princess?" He says, "That's right. I recognize you. You're a princess." She says, "I am?" He says, "You're a princess." And this spell is just breaking up like crazy. And he says, I want to take you, and I want to show you to your parents." She says, "Okay." And so he helps her out of the bed, and they walk to the door. Well, her parents were standing at the door because of all the commotion that they were hearing in that room. And they had just been standing there listening in. And so he opens the door, and they see this girl, and they say, "Who is she?" And he's like, "This is your daughter." And they're like, but she looks so different." What was really interesting is this prince's magic was so strong that it had affected the parents standing out there. And it was like there was rays of sunshine starting to come out of their eyes. And they were seeing her completely different. And they're like, but she looks like a princess. And he's like, "She is a princess. Of course she looks like one." And they said, "But she looks wonderful." And he said, "She is wonderful." And he said, she's amazing." He said, "She is amazing." And they're like, "Wow." Well, about that time, the entire village had started kind of congregating outside of the house because they heard all this noise coming from inside. And so people started to knock on the door. And the parents went downstairs and they opened the door and they said, "Excuse me, but what's happening in there? We're hearing all this noise." And they said, "You need to see our daughter. Something has happened to her." And so they bring her downstairs and they bring her out on the front porch. And then the prince's magic was so strong that like the entire villages, all their eyes were starting to glow and rays were starting to come out of them. And they look at her and they're like, "She looks like a princess." And the parents are like, "She is. She's a princess." And they're like, "She's beautiful." And the parents are like, "She is beautiful." And everyone says, "We want to kiss her. Could we kiss her?" And the parents are like, "Well, I guess everybody line up." And everybody lined up and they had their daughter come out. And one by one, everybody in that village just had to. They just each gave her a kiss. That spell just hightailed it right out of that village. It was gone. And it was amazing. And this girl, the sleeping ugly, she was now wide, wide awake. Something amazing happened. Word started to spread about what happened in that village. And it turns out there are sleeping uglies in villages all around that kingdom. And so what happened is people started bringing their sleeping uglies to this village. And they would say, "We understand that in your village you have learned how to cast out the bad spell, the sleeping ugly spell." And they said, "We did. We learned." And so they taught people from other villages how to cast out the spell. They said, "Man, it's how you look at people. It's the words you speak. You just need to let people know who they really are." And all these sleeping uglies that were brought to the village, their sleeping spells were undone. And they would go back to their villages, and word continued to spread throughout the entire kingdom and then throughout the entire world. And eventually, there were no more sleeping uglies. And everyone lived happily ever after. And that was just the beginning of the story. And that's the story of sleeping ugly. Now, as you might have imagined, that story is kind of a parable. Parable is like a metaphor. It's a story with like, there's more meaning to it than meets the eye. And just in case you didn't get it, the meaning of the story is this. Man, our world is full of sleeping uglies. And what I mean is our world is full of people who have become convinced that you can't. You don't. You mustn't never think. You never will be. Unwanted. Unlovable. Ugly. Unattractive. The world is full of them. In fact, my guess is we probably have a bunch of sleeping uglies in our room. And I'll just be honest with you and tell you that when I look in the mirror, sometimes I see a sleeping ugly because, man, there are a lot of times where that's exactly how I feel about myself. But for the good of our world, a great prince has come. And this prince, he looked at us in a different way. And he said different words about us. He came with this message. And his message was that every person is valuable. That every person comes from royal descent. That every person has this incredible worth and value and is to be treasured as a prince, as a princess. He came with this message that there was new life available. That people who had slept, walked through their entire life, who had slept, played, and slept, worked, and slept, schooled, and slept, ate, and slept, drank, and slept, that they could wake up and that they could live life wide, wide awake. And that there was love and joy and peace and an adventurous life waiting for them if they would just say yes, if they would just wake up and accept it. And that's exactly what we need, because the reality is, the truth is, man, too many of us have fallen asleep. And you know what I mean. I mean, try this. Ask a kid, go down like to our kids' ministry after service and ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know what you'll never hear from a kid? Pension plan, health care, 40-hour cap of my work week. You know, that's never what you're going to hear, right? But somewhere along the line, we lost our dreams and we settled. You know, we just kind of have fallen into this rut. I'm kind of sort of from Buffalo, New York area, and Buffalo's right next to Canada. And in Canada, there are just two seasons. There's winter and there's July. And it is very cold and very wet in Canada. And then when July comes, as you might imagine, there's lots of water as all the snow kind of unfreezes and gets wet and stuff like that. And what happens is ruts form in the roads because you have these wet roads, and especially in small towns with dirt roads, there's these long ruts that form. And then August rolls around, everything gets cold again, and those ruts can actually freeze in the road. And it's so bad that there's this one town in Canada, this is true, that has a big sign when you come into their town. And the sign says, choose your ruts carefully. You may be in them for the next 20 years. But it's true, right? A lot of us would say, that's me. It's funny, but it's not. Because I've been in a rut, maybe for 20 years, maybe for some of us 2 years, maybe some of us 40 years. I've been in a rut for a long time. Have you fallen into a rut? You know, a lot of us, we live this monotonous life. It's like we wake up, get out of bed, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV for 3 hours, go to sleep. Get up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV for 3 hours, go to sleep. It's infuriating in its monotony until finally someone snaps, right? Dad comes home, he's tired, he's frustrated. Dad yells at mom, mom yells at older brother yells at younger sister kicks the dog, dog bites a cat, cat scratches the baby, baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. And wouldn't it be easier if dad just came in, bit the head off the Barbie doll himself and saved all the in-between steps? But some of us are there. We've been in this rut for so long, and it's like it's infuriating and it's monotony. You know, it's like, how long can I live like this? Might this be my entire existence? Can I die of boredom? And today, what Jesus is saying to you, the reason he has you here this morning is because he's saying, hand me the keys. Hand me the keys and I will get you out of your rut. He is saying, wake up. Maybe saying, Popsy. We're not going to do that anymore. We're not doing that. There's a verse in the Bible that I love. It's in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to Ephesians. If you don't have one, it's totally fine. We put the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we don't think that's fine. We'd love for you to have a Bible, so we give them away for free. If you stop by our Velcro bar on the way out today, free Bibles galore. Just grab a Bible, no catch, no cost. But check out this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. We'll put it on the screen. It says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Jesus is saying today, man, I can wake you up, and I can give you a new life if you would just let me shine on you. If you would let me wake up you up, and if you would live your life in such a way that you orient your life so that I am shining on you, that you are living in relationship with me, I can make your life new. He's saying, I can make your life new, and not pretend new. You know what I mean by pretend new? Well, you know, there's some people, it's like, I think that's pretend new. You know, it's not really new. He can make your life really new. You know what I mean, pretend new? Have you ever been to the car washes where after you get your car washed, they spray the inside of your car with a scent, and you can choose, and one of the scents is new car scent. Have you seen this? And so your car smells like who is this going to fool? You know, you drive over to pick up your friend, and he jumps into your 1979 Malibu Classic with one quarter panel's duct tape, and the ceiling's all the fabric is sagging in on your head, and he gets in, he goes, "Is this car new?" It's like, yeah, pop the Andy Gibb tape and the 8-track. Let's go. It's new, right? Not pretend new. Jesus can really give you a new life, a new life. A couple weeks ago on Easter, I mentioned briefly how I became a Christian, that I grew up completely non-Christian background. I mean, completely. My mother's Jewish. Father's a professional poker player here in Vegas. And I ended up in college studying the Bible, trying to disprove it, and eventually realize it's true. You can prove it's true. And there's this God who loves me, wants a relationship with me, wants to give me life and take me to heaven. I said yes. I mentioned that. What I didn't mention a couple weeks ago was what's happened in my life since. Now, I need to tell you, before that, there were a lot of ways I think that my life was like, it was okay. It was okay. But it was boring. It was okay boring. The truth is, even the things I was living for, the things I was like, man, this is the good stuff, or the goals I had, someday I'm going to have this, I'm going to do this, even that was pretty boring. If I was being honest, I'd be like, even the best things, they're not that special. They're not that great. Even my goals, if I achieve them, right? My life was pretty boring and occasionally awful. It was like boring with intermittent awful. Occasionally there was something bad would happen, like it does for all of us. Or I had certain things in my life, like we all do, that were like just awful. And so it was boring and occasionally awful. And whenever awful times happened, I personally had no good way of dealing with it. But honestly, what I would do is I would contemplate suicide. Not because I was such a messed up person, I don't think. It was just like, what's the point? My life is boring and occasionally awful. Is it really worth being bored all the time so once in a while I get to be awful? You know, it's like, why live? Like, I don't get it. And then I met Jesus, this prince. And I heard him saying, "Wake up. Let me shine you. Live your life in relationship with me and I can change it." And I said, yes. And I will tell you, man, my life has gone from boring to amazing, and I mean it. I love my life. I love it. I mean, it's great and occasionally amazing. Like the last 20, 21 years, I've got to do things, and I've got to see things. I've got to be a part of things. Like, I don't understand, like, why I get to be a part of these things. And the reason is because I'm following Jesus. It's not because there's anything special about me. It's because I'm following Jesus, and he has me on this adventure. And I get to do things. I'm like, I can't believe this. And I'll tell you more stories as our years go on together. But unbelievable things I've gotten to do. But here's the really cool part. Does my life still have boring parts? Yes, but the most fun part to me of following Jesus is that even the boring parts of life are no longer boring. Let me give you some examples. So, like, getting your hair cut. I don't know about you. To me, that was always like one of the most boring things. I would sit there for a half hour, and what do I say to this person? That's boring. But ever since I started following Jesus, when I get my hair cut, I go in with this idea of how can I, in a completely non-obnoxious way, just in a cool, normal way, how can I communicate to this person who's cutting my hair that, like, God loves them? And maybe let them know about what God's done in my life. How could I invite them to church in a way that they'd be like, oh, that's normal. That wasn't weird. And so it's like this little mini adventure. For 30 minutes, I'm getting my hair cut thinking, like, what's my opportunity just to say something, you know, just to make them go, huh, I need to think about that. Huh, you're different. And so, like, it's like this kind of strategic adventure I'm on for 30 minutes. It's not boring. Or washing dishes. In my opinion, washing dishes is like bottom of the chore food chain. Like, it's just gross, and I hate it, and it's boring. But it's not boring anymore. Because when I wash dishes, I'm like, okay, this is my time. I'm going to pray for really big things. And so I pray for things while I'm washing dishes that are really important to me or that I think are really important to God and to this world. And I don't know about you, but I honestly believe that my prayers impact things. Like, they make a difference. So when I wash dishes, I am changing the world. Literally, I believe that. Boring? Kind of. But not really. It's an adventure. It's like, man, what's going to happen because I washed dishes today, you know? And so the boring parts of life, they're not really boring. They're kind of adventurous. Do I still have bad things happen? Yes. They're still intermittent and awful. But it's different. Because I used to have no way of handling it. I didn't know what to do with it. What do you do? Now I know what to do. Like, I have this God who I trust, who is, you know, it's like a kid. You know, a kid has bad things happen, but it's like, you trust your parents, they're going to take care of it. You know, you don't have to worry about who's going to pay the bills. Where, you know, well, that's my parents' job. And I've got this guy I can trust, and man, it changed how I deal with it. There's a verse in the Bible I want to show you, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And it's a cool verse that maybe you should, like, memorize or something. Remember 5-6 weeks ago, we talked about memorizing different verses and the power that can be. Philippians 4, 7 says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, so it's saying, which doesn't make sense, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so the idea is, when things are really bad, that if you kind of are living life with God, if you're letting Christ shine on you, that God gives you a peace that doesn't make sense. Like, you lose your job, things are going bad, your marriage is struggling, and it's like, I don't know why, but I'm okay. Like, I never would have used to have been okay, but I've talked to so many of you who are like, man, that's exactly what's happened to me. Like, since I brought God into my life and all, like, I don't know why, but I'm okay when things are bad. There's this peace that doesn't make sense. I love how Jesus described him. This is one of the verses we mention here the most. It's where we got the name of our church. But I love how Jesus described why he came from heaven to earth. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we'll put it on the screen. He says, I have come that they as you, may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they, that you, may have life and have it to the full. Like, if you interviewed Jesus and said, Jesus, why in the world were you willing to leave heaven? He would say, I came so that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus, why did you come to earth? I mean, this, in a lot of ways, this is kind of a cesspool now, you know? Why were you willing to deal with all this? I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus, what is your intention for us? Like, there's a bunch of people sitting in this room right now, 2012, Las Vegas, Verve Church. What is your intention for our lives? I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus is saying to you today, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Up, there is life to be had, and you might just be missing it. You might be sleepwalking through your life when there is life to be had. If you would let me wake you up, if you would let me touch you, if you would let me shine on you so that you live your life every day, not just with a yes, I believe in Jesus, but you live your life in a way that you are oriented so Jesus is shining on you. You are living in a relationship with him. He will wake you up. And he's like, man, there's adventure to be had. Like, I have an adventurous life for you, not the other people in this room. You. I have joy for you. I have a better marriage for you. I have a future for you, a plan for your life. Wake up. Don't sleep through your life. Give me the keys. Let's get you out of the rut. And let's give you new life. Not pretend life. Not pretend new life. New life. That's what Jesus is saying. And I guess now it's on you, right? I mean, the decision's on you. The next step is for you to decide. Maybe there are some of you in this room who you've never woken up. Like you've never said yes to Jesus, and he's still kind of shaking you by the shoulder, saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. And maybe you've come here a few times or a bunch of times, and you're still just like, let me sleep more. And maybe what you need to decide today is, all right, I'm done sleeping. Yes. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. I want him to shine on me. I want to really, I don't know what all that means, but I want that. I don't know what to call it, but I want it. And if that's you, if that's what you're thinking right now, I just want to encourage you, talk to somebody before you leave. You know, don't leave with that, thinking that. Like talk to somebody. There's all kinds of easy people to talk to here. I'm one of them. Just grab me, like, out in the lobby and say, hey, I want to say yes. Like, can I talk to you about that right now? Can we get together? Can I email with you? Like I want that, and let's talk. We're at the Velcro Bar. You know, we try to put some of our nicest people back there who are easy to talk to and who kind of know the next steps, who aren't like, I don't know what to tell you, but like, are like, no, I can help you through this. And so just go back and say, hey, I want to take that next step. Like help me. What do I do? And they'd love to talk to you. For others of us, maybe the next step is going to the retreat Friday night and Saturday morning. Man, we have this great opportunity. There's a church in Ohio, Kentucky, one of them. It doesn't really matter. If you've been to them, you know what I mean. anybody from Ohio or Kentucky offended? Okay. They said, we want to do something nice for your church. I said, oh, we do all kinds of outreach to our city. They said, no, for the people, go to your church. And I said, what do you want to do? And they said, can we put on a retreat for you? So they're paying, they let me choose the speaker, and they let me choose a host for it. And but they're like giving us a retreat. We have a great speaker, a great guy, a fun guy coming to kind of host the whole thing. It's going to be a blast. Your kids are going to take care of food. But the cool thing is, for those of us who are like, this all sounds good to me, but I don't get it. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't have the framework to know what would it look like for me to start that relationship with God. What would it look like for Jesus to shine on me? I don't know what that means. Be here on Friday night and Saturday morning. And it's going to be kind of like coming to a bunch of church service in a row, but we're going to do some fun interactive things, some games, and some really cool talks and some discussion, and it's going to be really good. And you will leave here on Saturday going, man, I'm so good. I'm so glad I invested my time in that. And so maybe that's your next step, to go back right now, give the $5 or whatever, and say, I'll be here Friday night. That would be a great next step. I don't know, because it's to you, right? You have to decide what to do with this, but I know this. Right now, Jesus is saying to you, wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and let Christ shine on you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for sending a prince for us, because we live in this kind of magical kingdom where spells happen. And if it was just honesty day and we all just told the truth, I think a lot of us would say, man, I've got a spell on me. I go through every day feeling bad about myself. I go through every day not knowing how to deal with my problems. I go through my days wishing I could be loved. I go through my days wishing I could just be honest with people. I go through my days wondering, how am I ever going to have a future? I go through my days wondering if my marriage will ever be good. I go through my days wondering, how do I raise these kids? A lot of us, God, we fall and pray to these spells that have us stuck. So thank you for sending a prince for us. Thank you for sending Jesus, and that he looks at us in a different way, and he's got this power to change us by touching us and shining on us. God, would you wake us up? Would you help us to experience life with you that is really life, new life? God, I pray that every person in this room would make a decision this morning. We're going to each take a next step. What is our next step? God, would you make that really clear to us right now? And we pray and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.